Wisconsin may have to drastically reduce muskie stocking and close fish hatcheries as part of a standoff over spending authority. It's Tuesday, April 23rd, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Really glad to be back with you on this Thursday. Coming up on the show today, those tornadoes and floods from last week have forced schools to close in many parts of the state, and a pair of best-selling authors who are married to each other have a new novel set in Wisconsin.
And soon after her mother died, she said, "There's so many things I wish I told my mother." And I said, I think that's a book.
Stay with us.
There's a certain spirit about being a Wisconsinite.
On Wisconsin Weekend, we celebrate that by exploring the stories that make the state special.
And we meet people doing interesting things who don't always make it into the headlines.
Connect with your Wisconsin community on Wisconsin Weekend.
Saturday afternoon at 3 and Sunday morning at 10 on WPR News.
Wisconsin may be forced to close some fish hatcheries and stop some stocking of muskies, walleyes, and pheasants. As Danielle Kading reports, the Department of Natural Resources is asking the state's budget committee for new spending authority.
The state Fish and Wildlife account has faced a $16 million shortfall as license fees have remained flat for decades amid rising costs and declining license sales. Under the current state budget, lawmakers approved a $30 million transfer from the state's forestry account to make up the deficit, but DNR Secretary Karen Hyun says they may make cuts if the legislature's finance committee doesn't sign off on a request to access $4 million.
We are needing to consider cutting core work that we do, things like stocking of pheasants or stocking of fish that are important to people who recreate across the state.
The deputy director of the DNR's Fisheries Bureau says the Brule and Osceola State fish hatcheries may temporarily close without funds by July 1st. The Finance Committee's GOP co-chairs didn't respond to requests for comment. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Storms that ripped through the state last week have closed schools and damaged athletic fields across Wisconsin. About 700 students in the school district of Shiocton have not been in class for more than a week. Flooding forced an evacuation in the village. A tornado that touched down in Ringle damaged an elementary school there. Around 450 students at that school resumed classes at a community center yesterday as their building remains closed. In Racine County, a tornado damaged Waterford High School's athletic fields. Dr. Luke Francois is the superintendent of Waterford Union High School.
Specifically, our baseball field had the entire outfield fence blown across the field. The top of the dugout roof was blown off and thrown on a hillside.
Meanwhile, an elementary school in Janesville will remain closed for the foreseeable future due to water damage. A northeastern Wisconsin anti-poverty nonprofit filed for bankruptcy this month, and as Joe Schultz reports, it abruptly closed at the end of March after serving low-income residents of 10 counties for 60 years.
NewCap filed for bankruptcy to liquidate its assets and transition housing programs to other agencies. Advocates are waiting on the federal government to approve the transfer of 4 housing grants to other nonprofits. Carrie Poser is with the organization that oversees homeless services for much of the state. She says 98 of 134 households participating in NewCap's federally funded housing programs had their rent covered in April. But she says that effort is unsustainable without the grant transfers.
It is a reaction to a crisis, but we cannot continue to operate under that crisis for a long-term solution.
Governor Tony Evers has urged Wisconsin's congressional delegation and the Trump administration to take action on the transfers. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The Milwaukee Public School District celebrated Earth Day yesterday on a playground designed with the environment in mind. This comes as the district is focusing on its first sustainability action plan that includes both building improvements and student instruction. MPS has received about $40 million in grants to support its sustainability initiatives. Superintendent Brenda Caselius says she wants students to have green spaces to explore environmental issues.
These experiences make learning more relevant and more engaging and a little bit more fun, and they extend learning far, far, far beyond the classroom.
Caselius spoke at Morse Middle School on the northwest side of Milwaukee. That school transformed four city blocks of concrete into green space, which includes a forest, stormwater basin, and running track. A new study finds bird populations are declining at a faster pace in areas with a lot of agriculture, especially in the Midwest. Harvest Public Media's Abigail Botar reports.
The study out of Ohio State University focused on geographic areas where researchers saw faster declines in bird populations. The researchers found a strong link between accelerated bird decline and large areas of cropland with increased fertilizer and pesticide use. Professor Mike Ward studies bird behavior and ecology at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign and read the study. He says these findings, although new, were not surprising.
Some changes in agricultural practices have led to reductions in habitat and likely food availability.
He says increased fertilizer use and a lack of native plants around fields may be behind the faster decline of bird populations. I'm Abigail Botar, Harvest Public Media.
Coming up, we'll hear from a husband and wife author team who have just finished working on a new novel titled The Mother-Daughter Book Club. We'll hear about the book and how they work together. Stay with us.
Are you an educator looking for ready-to-use classroom content and engaging professional learning? Visit pbswisconsineducation.org for free videos, games, lessons, and more, built to spark curiosity and support state standards. From writing and Wisconsin history to science and music, find what you need at pbswisconsineducation.org.
And finally, a new book from best-selling authors and married couple James and Susan Pedersen is deeply embedded in the Wisconsin experience. The Mother-Daughter Book Club is centered around a group of friends who meet at UW-Madison and who experience a life-altering event while vacationing with their daughters in Lake Geneva. The Pedersens recently joined WPR's Wisconsin Today, where they talked with host Rob Ferret about the Wisconsin inspiration behind the book.
A lot of this book takes place by Lake Como in Italy, but the action starts in Wisconsin, so that's where I want to start too. So Susan, I'm going to go to you first. You're a UW-Madison grad. Tell us how Wisconsin and your Wisconsin experience fed so much into this book.
Well, I guess I could say I was born a Badger because both my parents were Badgers. You know, a lot of my family, my aunts, my uncles, cousins. So we're pretty, you know, cardinal red here. And a lot of the, well, for starters, the three of the women, moms, went to Wisconsin. So there is quite a bit of Badger chit-chat in there.
Throughout the book, right?
Yeah, throughout the book. Even when I reread it again just recently, I was thinking to myself, oh boy, I really laid it on pretty thick here. But it was, you know, they're reminiscing about their time when they were in college, and they remain close friends. So.
And James, do you get that a lot from Susan, reminiscing about Babcock Hall ice cream and Badger games and brats, as the characters do?
Yes, I had to sign a Badger prenup, so I have to watch every Badger football game, basketball game, hockey game, which actually is a pleasure right now since they're in the Frozen Four finals. Yeah, so I'm in a big. In fact, I'm actually giving the graduation speech this year.
Right, and I'll ask you about that in just a bit, but I want to get into a big theme of the book here. In addition to the Wisconsin love, it's right there in the title. These mothers and daughters are brought together in a book club, and it's, you know, it's crossing generations, it's crossing class boundaries in a lot of ways. James, talk about this theme of books really bringing people together, both in your book and in the world.
Well, Sue did a book earlier, actually two of us, called Things I Wish I Told My Mother. Mm-hmm. As Sue mentioned, her mom went to Wisconsin, and her mom died at 98. And soon after her mother died, she said, there's so many things I wish I told my mother. And I said, I think that's a book. The book that we wrote wasn't about she and her mother, but it was about a mother and daughter. And it's such a rich area. And this thing is less about a book club or books than it is about mothers and daughters. And it's a love story in a lot of ways. Between the mothers, some of the daughters are very close, and then between the mothers and the daughters.
You are co-authors of this. It's not the first time around. And I wonder about collaborating. Like, you know, I don't even collaborate.
We've been around the block a few times.
Yeah. But I wonder, I have a hard time collaborating even just in the kitchen with my wife. We have to have distinct roles because I get fussy sometimes. How is it, let's start with you, James. How do you two work together on a book?
You know, I've done a bunch of collaborations. I've collaborated with President Clinton 3 times and Dolly Parton once. I'm actually just finished a book with Mr. Beast. I have a book out now with Viola Davis that's been number one. So I'm kind of used to it. But with Sue and I've never had a fight or an argument on any of the collaborations. And the same held when Sue and I worked together. And we've done other things together, like...
Yeah, we did. We started our collaboration, if you want to call it that, with a children's book series, Big Words for Little Geniuses.
It was Sue's idea, and it's a really cool book. And then we did another couple books in that series.
Yeah.
Now, you are, as you mentioned, you're coming to do the commencement address for UW-Madison, James. You don't have to spoil everything, but your message to college graduates in a tough time. Yeah, we got 5 minutes. Go for it.
I'm not a message person. I think my mission, and I think I'm going to fulfill it, is I want to be worthy of the graduates, and I want to be worthy of their families, and I want the graduates to all work out feeling that they are worthy, which is really going to be useful for them as they go out into the world. That notion of, you know, we are worthy, we've gone through a very good college, and because there are going to be bumps along the road, that's just the way the world is.
You can find the full interview with James and Susan Pedersen at WPR.org/Wisconsin Today. And a quick check of your forecast before letting you go for the day. Pretty warm today. Highs in the mid to upper 70s across the state with a mix of sunshine and clouds. Slight chance for some storms in western Wisconsin later on today. And really windy at times across the state. Overnight, showers and storms likely across a good portion of Wisconsin, with lows down into the 50s. And that'll do it for this Thursday. I'm happy to be back and glad you could join us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. Our producer today was Courtney Everett, and big thanks to Courtney and Bridget Bowden for filling in while I was gone. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.